It is good to be here again and to be together. I just want to open with prayer, and then I want to share with you some information, I'll say. Okay, let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for this opportunity again to be here and to come together. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, Lord, I pray that you will be known, that you will make yourself known to each and every one of us for whatever is on our heart and mind, whatever is preventing us from getting closer to you, Lord. I pray that you would reveal that to us and you would take that wall down. I pray that if there's things that are in our way, that you would help make it clear. And for Lord, we're here. So we've taken a step. We have opened ourselves to you. I pray that you would truly touch our hearts and minds right now as we've gathered together to be here today, to worship, to learn about you, to draw closer to you, and to know that you are with us. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want to talk about something a little bit, it's not different, but I'm going to come at it maybe from a different approach this morning. I don't know if you have noticed, but have you noticed how many fake products are available today? It seems like we're overrun with imitations. It's like anything that's real can be made a fake. Like, let me just think about this, or let me help you think about this for a minute. You can have, I don't, obviously, but you can have fake fingernails. You can have fake hair. You can have a fake tan. Have you seen that stuff you can buy? You can have a fake tan, right? You can have fake teeth. You can have fake other body parts. I'm not going into any of that, by the way, but at all. I'm going to leave that alone. You can have a hamburger that has no beef, right? You can put fake sugar in your artificially flavored coffee, right? You can wear imitation cotton clothing as you have conversation about the fake news with a fake identity on social media with people that you really don't even know, right? There are so many areas of life that you can get by with imitation. You can get by with something that is fake, but one of the areas, the area you can't get by with something that's fake is that is in the area of faith. Faith. Because fake faith is powerless. It will not help you. It won't bring you comfort. It won't be a catalyst to help you get through anything. It won't help you when you need assurance. Fake faith will not do that. Fake faith will leave you feeling all alone. Fake faith has no power to answer prayers or to let you know your prayers are being heard. So I want you, I want our church family, I want our friends to have real faith, to have real faith. So I'm gonna take a few minutes and just, I'm going to share with you several ideas about faith and then a couple of real examples, real life examples, people that are great examples to us. Because in the area of faith, having fake faith just will not hold up. It will not carry us. It will not be helpful at all. In fact, it'll likely be a deterrent. For every day, and perhaps even more so in the days we are in right now, you need real faith. You need faith for life. Faith that will sustain, faith that will strengthen, faith that will simplify, faith that is real, that will empower, faith that will deliver comfort, that will give hope, real faith that gives you a foundation to cling to when everything is falling apart. So today I want to look at James. I look at the book of James. I'll get into that in just a second. But James, if you are not familiar with James, the neat thing about James is James was the brother of Jesus. And James did not have faith in Jesus until he witnessed the resurrection. When he learned about, heard about, and witnessed the resurrection, he had and placed his faith in Jesus. I mean, I could look at it like this or ask you this question. What would it take for you, for your brother, to convince you that he was the Son of God? I mean, the resurrection would pretty much do it for me, okay? I'm just saying. After Jesus' resurrection, James put his faith in Jesus. He became a follower of Jesus to behave and to become more like Jesus. So James wrote a highly practical letter that we call, with a real original name, James. That's it. It's James. It's recorded in the New Testament, so we have access to it. In the second half of the second chapter of James, we, meaning scholars through the years, have put all of these parameters on it, like the second chapter, the first chapter, the third, so that we can find places easy, we can make reference to it. But in the second half of the second chapter, James has written to help us understand the difference between real faith and fake faith. Real faith that makes such a huge difference, that we can recognize, that we can see. So here's what I want to do this morning. I'm going to read through verses, James 2, 14, verses 14 through about 20, and then I'm going to kind of take that apart a little bit as we continue to go on. So let me give you kind of the overview, and then we're going to take this apart as we go. So I want to talk about some of this. So starting with verse 14. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, eat well, and you don't give that person any food or any clothing, what good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead. It is useless. Now, some may argue, some people have faith, others do good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Now, let's take this apart a little bit. First of all, you might be looking and you might be thinking, is James talking differently or contradicting the Apostle Paul? He says a lot of things, if you're familiar with the Apostle Paul and a lot of the books that Paul has written, a lot of the letters that we have, about 13 of them that are recorded in the Bible, Paul speaks a lot about faith and a lot about faith. But what I want to let you know is James actually complements Paul. Paul's emphasis is to talk about how to know if I'm saved. Whereas his emphasis is, once you're a follower of Jesus, once you're saved and you put your faith in Jesus, how does it show up? How is it obvious that you have faith? Paul's focus of salvation is on the internal, primarily what is unseen. Whereas James's focus is on the external, on the visible. Paul, when he talks about works, is really talking about keeping the Jewish laws, which he helps us understand and helps everyone understand that laws themselves are guidelines, but they can't save. When James is talking about works, he's talking about faith for life. He's talking about living like Jesus. That's the work that you show. You're living like Jesus. So let's talk about this for a moment. What is real faith? What is real faith? James is telling us a few things that are not real faith, and then he gives us the two examples of live people that I want to get into a little bit here. I didn't read that part. We're going to get to that in just a second, but two examples of real faith. So let's go back to verse 14 here. It says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Now, what's the use of saying you have faith if you don't have actions? So the first thing I would say to you is, real faith is more than just words that I say. It's more than just words I say. Real faith is more than just words I say. It's kind of like saying, well, if I show up at church, that makes me a Christian. That would be, I could say, well, if I show up at McDonald's, does that make me a hamburger? I mean, I guess I probably should have used the one, if I show up at Dunkin' Donuts, does that make me a donut? And that, I may be more shaped like that. But anyways, I'll go on. So, real faith is more than just what we say, right? It's more than a memorized prayer. Memorized prayers can be very helpful for us. Rituals can be very rich for us. But we have to be careful we don't just fall into ritual as a routine and it loses its meaning. So real faith is more than just a memorized prayer. And here's the interesting thing that I find is researchers, and you've probably read these studies, heard these studies, or whatever, researchers say that a vast majority of Americans claim to be Christians. And here's the difficulty I have with that is there's times where I watch the news, and I know that's what is going on. So I'm seeing a very small snapshot of people. But when I watch the news, when I go on social media and I look at things, and I see outbursts of violence, I see polarized name-calling, I see disrespect, I see things like that, people living in a way that whatever they want to live like, and I say to myself, what does that show? What does that tell me? I mean, what do you think? Does that look like Christians? Is that Christ-like? Just because someone says they have faith doesn't mean they have real faith. Now, I should maybe preface this whole thing by saying, this is for us, meaning this is for me, this is for you. This isn't for us per se to go around and we don't need to point fingers at people saying, oh, your faith isn't real or that. This is to help us define and understand faith. Jesus put it this way. He actually, in Matthew, it's recorded in Matthew 7:21, he said it this way. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, which is like saying, I'm following you, God, I'm following you, Jesus, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does will the will of my Father. Only those who do the will of the Father will enter into heaven. I was driving down the road and there's a stop sign and there's a I thought I was getting pretty close and this car pulls out right in front of me. I mean, just, you know, I had to apply brakes. So you've been there, right? And someone, I'm going to call it, they cut me off. I mean, they just clearly cut me off and they looked and they saw me. So it wasn't like maybe they were in a hurry, whatever the case may be. But my point is, I mean, they really cut me off. I had to brake. I'm looking in my mirror thinking, I'm going to get a shorter car now because that truck is coming. And anyways, all of that kind of happened in my head. And when they pulled out right in front of me, here's what I have to say. They pulled out in front of me and they cut me off. And as I said, I know they saw me. And then I look on the back of their car and they've got one of those fishy stickers. I'm just saying. What you hear, what I say, right? I could tell you, I'm the best bass singer in the world. It doesn't make it true. If you want to hear me sing, and no, you don't. See, fake faith, faith that isn't anchored, will not hold up. It doesn't have value. So real faith is more than just words. Point one. Real faith, here's another one. Real faith is more than an emotion. Real faith is more than an emotion. I mean, you can be inspired. You can be emotionally moved. You can have goosebumps, right? Those are all signs of an emotional response, without a doubt, but they're not necessarily signs of real faith. Real faith is much deeper than emotions. Look at verse 15 and 17 here from James. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm, be well fed, but does nothing about the physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Now, James, I think, is using a little sarcasm here, but he's pointing out a very important point. So here's, when I was a child, somehow, I have no idea, but I once got my finger closed in the car door jamb. And here's the thing, I couldn't reach the handle. So my finger is caught in the door, in the car door jamb. I didn't need someone to give me sympathy and say, oh, it'll be fine. It'll be all well. It'll be good. I needed someone to open the door. It's more than an emotion. Real faith is more than an emotion. It's practical. Faith, real faith gets involved. Real faith gets involved. Now, I I probably should have, maybe I should have prefaced the whole thing by this, but because church, New Hampton Community Church, I have to say, I'm excited, I'm pleased, I'm blessed to be part of this church family, because I could say, why am I speaking about this to all of you? All of you, because you are doing things and you're doing things. You're living out your faith all the time. I see it so often. I mean, right now, some of the things we have going on, and this is only a minor list, we have people delivering meals on a regular basis. We have people that are standing on the front lawn or on the porch and having conversations with people, maintaining social distancing while we're visiting and connecting so that we are keeping people from feeling lonely, from feeling isolated. That's all going on. Some of you are helping others by stacking wood, by mowing lawns, by grocery shopping, by helping one another, going to the store just to pick up items, driving someone to the doctor appointment, all sorts of things. Actually, we're also having something that's going on that I'll give you a heads up. It's coming soon. We have a group that is now making masks so that we'll have masks available to give away for both in the church and in the community. I'm excited about that too. So, church, you have been supplying food also. I hope you remember this, and we do this on a regular basis. We supply food to stack the shelves of the community food pantries that are local to us so that people in our communities who really need food have access to it. You've helped send children to camp this summer. You've blessed a mom and her family. And it's in one of those ways that you would know nothing about, because it's just one of those things that happens. And this is, I was blessed to be part of this. She had a real need, and we blessed her. And it just overwhelmed her. And she said, I'm not worthy. I'm so not worthy of this. And I just looked at her and I said, we didn't help you because you're worthy. We've done this because of the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. And he says we should do it. See, faith is more than words. And church, you know this, and you're doing a great job of it. But we need to be encouraged and reminded of this, to live out our faith in this way, to do the service parts of it. Because the more I say about faith, the more I realize I need to be doing it. Because faith is more than emotions. It's more than just what I say. Faith is very real, and it's very practical. We can't get caught up in doctrine, because real faith is more than doctrine, more than theology. Some people think faith is really an intellectual exercise. Some people think doctrine is to be debated, that it's theology is to be studied. It's a concept to be discussed, but it doesn't touch their life in other ways. Some people just love to talk about things as well. Some people will discuss the Bible but won't actually do it. Some prefer to debate theology than actually practice it. But James in verse 18, here's what he says. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds. I will show you my faith by what I do. I kind of wonder if the phrase all talk and no action kind of came from that passage. I don't know if it did. I just was thinking about that this week. But some want to just talk about theology. Some just want to make statements on blogs, but they don't do. Real faith stimulates following. Real faith leads to obedience. Real faith leads to improved lives. As I read that passage, show me your faith without deeds, I thought, you know what? I bet James was from Missouri. Thanks for laughing, because Missouri obviously wasn't in place. But anyways, we have some friends that just moved to Missouri. And Missouri, if you know, is the show me state, right? The show me state. What does faith look like? Show me. Show me, what does faith look like? How do you know someone is a Christian? How do you know someone is a follower of Jesus? Because real faith is visible. Now, think of another concept that's very much like faith in that it's hard to see, and that is love. Because you can't see love. You can't feel love as far as touch it. I can't touch love. It's colorless. It's weightless. You can't see it. So how do you know love? How do you know that faith is real? See, real faith is apparent by lifestyle. Real faith is apparent by lifestyle. Maybe I could use this this illustration. Maybe I shouldn't, but I will. Faith is a lot like calories. Who has counted calories ever in your life? I'm not doing it right now, but right? You can't see calories. I've picked up things you read on the labels. I can't see the calories, but I can sure see the results. Faith has results. The results of faith are revealed in a person's life. James is simply saying, if you claim to be a Christian, prove it. Your lifestyle demonstrates what you believe. Faith has results. Think of it like this. When someone enters your life, when you have a relationship with someone, they enter your life and you start to get to know them and you trust and believe in them, they will influence your life. Maybe you pick up some language that they use or words or phrases, or maybe you pick up a sport that they do, different things, but your life will reflect the influence of them being in your life. As you have a relationship with the creator of the universe, the indescribable one, your life will show it. Paul said it this way. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone. The new is here. Following Jesus, becoming like Jesus. Becoming like Jesus is, you become new. It's a new journey. It doesn't all happen overnight. Everything doesn't change and all that kind of stuff. You know, any more than a diet change, you know, changing. You don't lose 62 pounds or whatever you need to lose in overnight. It's step by step, little by little, it happens. As you position your life to be more like Jesus, your behavior will reflect him more and more. Paul, the Apostle Paul, tells us about real faith, and he says this is how you can recognize real faith, and he talks about it to the Galatians. As your relationship with God grows, he says you will see it in your life. Others will see it by the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control that should be appearing and growing in your life. So here is the question that I have for you. What evidence is there of your faith? Obviously, we're all in different places. We're in different places in our journey of life, our journey of faith. But this is a marker time. This is a time where we can look and say, where am I? And you know where you are, so you can grasp this, and you can put this as a marker. You know, we live in a country where we're not persecuted for our faith. We're harassed and we're made fun of, but we're not persecuted. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would people say, I see his faith, I see her faith? Real faith is more than an emotion. It's more than words, it's more than concepts, it's more than something to be debated. Real faith is even more than truth that I believe. Real faith is practical and it shows up. It's more than truth, I believe. Look at verse 19 and 20. You believe, James says, you believe that there is one God. This is astounding. He says, good. Even the demons, even Satan believes there's one God. And they shudder. They're terrified. Satan is terrified. He says, you foolish person, do you have evidence of your faith? Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? And he asks that question. Even the demons believe there is one God. I think, again, James is using some of that sarcastic humor that he has to make his point here. He's saying, anyone can say they believe in God. Even Satan believes in God. Satan is not an atheist. Satan believes in God. But you're not going to see Satan in heaven. What do his actions reflect? There needs to be evidence of the truth. There needs to be evidence of this faith that we believe. What evidence can be seen in your life, in my life? Saying you believe in God will not get you into heaven. Satan's not going to be there. Each person has to take a step of inviting Jesus into our lives, to lead our life. That means growing in lifestyle. It means growing in faith. Day by day, month by month, year by year, we grow. It's a process that we are in. And you should learn more and more. And as you do, you become more and more like Jesus. So your lifestyle, so your behavior, so you express that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. James teaches that faith is active. Faith is active. It's something that you do. It is a commitment. Faith is an action. In verses 17 and 26 here, I'm bringing these two together because I think they just emphasize this point. He gives us a clear indicator of faith. He says, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. As the body without the spirit is dead, faith without deeds is dead. Your body, right? Our bodies are more than just muscle. Pretty good though, huh? Tissue, organs. You have a spirit, you have a soul. Without your spirit, without your soul, your body is dead. James is making the point that faith without deeds, faith without action, faith without deeds can be fake faith. For faith to become deeper faith, for faith to enhance, for faith to strengthen, for faith to empower, encourage, and give hope and security, faith has to be active. A great verse to memorize from Corinthians is Corinthians 16, 13 through 14. It says this, stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. There is, do everything in love. Stand firm. Be courageous. Rely on God to give you strength. And whatever you do, do it in love. What are you doing in these days? What are you doing that demonstrates your faith? Now, James gives us two examples. They're historical people that he draws on to say, look at their faith. Look at their actions. They are demonstrating their faith. So let's just do that for a moment here. James talks about very briefly in this part of, in the second chapter of James, but very briefly he talks about Abraham and Rahab. Now, Abraham was a very wealthy businessman. Rahab was a very poor prostitute. When God came to Abraham, Abraham was not a follower of God, but God came to him and asked him to take a step of faith. And Abraham, by faith, followed God. He moved his entire business, all of his flocks, all of his family, to a new location. And God had said to him, if you will follow me, you will have more descendants than the stars in the sky. That is incredible. Abraham took the steps of faith. Abraham followed God. And here's the cool thing about Abraham following God. Abraham followed God even though he didn't know where he was going. Abraham followed God. He didn't have the whole plan. It wasn't the whole plan set out. He just took one step at a time and did what God wanted him to do. Just like the other thing that you may remember about Abraham is Abraham, he followed God. I mean, he was asked to put Isaac, his son, on the altar. And he followed God. He trusted God. That God would take care of him, that God would take care of his son. Abraham's action testified to his trust in God. James 20, chapter 2, 22 says this, you see that by his faith, Abraham's faith, and his actions, they were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that said, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. Abraham believed God. He put his faith in action. Abraham's action demonstrated his faith. His behavior showed what he believed. His actions, his faith were working together. And the results, because I think this is amazing, the results, his faithful behavior, he was credited with righteousness, but I love that expression, he became a friend of God. A friend of God, not an associate, not someone you know. I know people that live all over. I know people. I'm talking about a friend, a confidant, someone you can rub shoulders with and walk with in every circumstance, every situation, a friend of God. Abraham became a friend of God. I don't know about you, but at the end of my life, I would like to be called a friend of God. I hope at the end of your life, you desire to be called a friend of God. That's what you want to be. And being a friend of God matters for eternity. For eternity. The other person James mentions here is Rahab. Now, Rahab, this is a spy story too, so if you like that, check it out. It's in Joshua chapter 2. It's not that long of a section. It might need some parental supervision. But anyways, it's a good story. It's a spy story right there. The basics of it was Moses and the Israelites. They were looking at the city of Jericho, and they sent in a couple of spies to check it out at first. The summary is Rahab risked her life because God said, "Would you do this for me?" She risked her life to save God's people. And because of that, her faith was credited to her as righteous. And she was put in the genealogy of Jesus. Rahab's faith, what we need to grasp and think about is Rahab's faith was more important than her background. What a great reminder. No matter what your background is, no matter what you have done, no matter where you have been, God can use your life for good if you'll step out in faith and become more like Jesus. Not just in head knowledge, not just in heart passion. Both of those are very important. Both of those will drive what we're doing. But the whole point that James is making is to become more like Jesus. That prompts us in our faith, and it compels us. It will compel you to action. Wherever you are on your journey of faith, wherever you are, get to know Jesus. And I want to encourage you to get to know him more and more. Take a deeper step into faith because your life will never be the same. It'll never be the same. You'll be strengthened. You'll be encouraged. You'll have hope. You'll have an anchor for your life. Now, for those of us who have been followers of Jesus for a long time, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to believe it. It's one thing to debate it. But do our actions demonstrate it? Our behavior demonstrates what we truly believe. As you watch your own life, as you watch others, their behavior demonstrates what they truly believe. What we truly believe, what I truly believe. Real faith will compel you to an abundant life, to a secure life. Real faith becomes revealed in your lifestyle. In a few minutes, we're going to participate in communion, called the Lord's Supper in communion. And I want us just, this is all individual, this is up to you, but I want you to consider the words of Paul. When he said this, he said, "Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourself." Remember, this is not about works. And right now, this is not about you comparing yourself with anyone else or me comparing you or looking at you. It's all about you and your conversation with God, your relationship with God. It's all about me and my relationship with God. It's not about works. Maybe you talk the talk. Can non-believers recognize a difference in you? What behavior, shows that you are a follower of Jesus. Works are not what saves a person. They're not the root of salvation, but they are the fruit. They demonstrate your faith. Right? Ephesians 2:8 says this, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things that he has planned for us by the grace of Jesus. Through faith, we are saved for the good things that God has planned for you to do. We have to have all three of those pieces in place, knowing it's by the grace of Jesus. Through our faith, God has planned for you to do things. If you do what you do, your behavior, your lifestyle will reflect Jesus if you're following Jesus. So have you stepped across the line of real faith? If so, it should be evident. Back to that question, if you were put on trial, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, for being a follower of Jesus, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Today, God is calling you to real faith, to strengthen your faith, to support your faith, and maybe today is simply that opportunity where you go, yes, I'm on the right journey, I'm doing the right things, oh, I can do this a little bit better, I can do that. We're all in that process. Maybe you're just encouraged and you're strengthened because you're saying, yes, this is the right, I'm on the right path. And I would just say, praise God for that. Maybe today is that place and time where you're going, where is my faith visible to others? Maybe today's the day to step into, to deepen that relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've drifted away, whatever the reasons. Does your life, does your behavior communicate that you are a follower of Jesus? So no matter where you are in your journey of faith today, I encourage you to take a step. Take the step that God's nudging you to take right now. I don't know what that is, but you do. From where you are. Maybe it's making a recommitment. And maybe it's this simple. It's something that I think maybe we should do every week, is simply recommit. You know, we come together, we worship together. Whether we're live in presence or through live stream, we worship together. And it's kind of like making a recommitment. It energizes me for the week. It helps me get through the next week. And maybe we should just make a recommitment to say, yes, I'm recommitting this coming week to follow Jesus. Maybe as we sing this next song, and as I pray, that this is something that you'll want to be doing. So let's pray together. Right where we are, Jesus, maybe wherever you are today, folks, if you are in a place, maybe you want to repeat these words to God, right? And you just want to say, Jesus, I invite you to come into my life. I invite you to spur into my life, to encourage me, to show the places that I need to draw closer to you, to show the places that are preventing me from getting closer to you, God, getting closer to you, Jesus, the anchor of my soul. I want to live a meaningful, a significant, I want to live a real life, real faith life that anchors my life, that gives me courage in times of uncertainty and fear, that gives me strength beyond my own capacity, wisdom to be honest about my own failings, and the humility to look to you, God. So, Father God, I ask that you forgive me. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for each one of us. Come into our life. Let me know I'm your masterpiece, created anew because of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we come today and we want, help us to have the desire to follow you more closely. And give us the courage and the wisdom to do so every day, every hour, month by month, year by year. And thank you for your peace and your forgiveness. May our behaviors and our lifestyles honor you, God, by what we do, what we say, and how we live our lives. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.